You are worthy of all praise and honor. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, or he's borne our, what, our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken of God, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. How many believe that tonight? With his stripes. We got some people that need healing tonight. Hallelujah. And if we look over in Matthew 8, I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. It said, when the even was come, they brought unto him, unto Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself bare our infirmity, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24, how many know what that says? Amen. See, healing is in the atonement of God. Glory to God. It's not a maybe so, it's a guarantee from God. Amen. You have a right to stand upon his word and receive healing. Now, Joe knows this. He received healing in his body. Hallelujah. Verse 24 says this, of 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, if you were something, then you are something, right? If you were healed, then we are healed. Therefore, we can say, I am the healed, and I resist, I refuse sickness and disease to stay in my body. It has to change. It must change. Hallelujah. How do we know that? The same way that we know that if we call whosoever, how many believe that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Amen. Why? Because we learn something. Amen. Hallelujah. We realize what God has said. That's the number one thing. We need to realize it's God's will to heal all. It's his will that everyone be made whole. It's his will that everyone, how many believe it's his will that everyone be saved? Amen. Everybody says, well, why aren't all healed? Well, the same reason that all are not saved. We have to take him as our Savior. How many know each person has to individually receive that? And it's the same thing for healing. We receive that. Now we can pray for them. How many pray for people to be saved? How many know that God will answer that prayer? He will make and change circumstances to such a degree that they finally see their need for Christ and they can see clearly. And how many believe if somebody can see clearly, heaven or hell, they're going to choose heaven? Amen. Most of the time. Amen. I believe most all the time, just about all the time. Amen. So we believe that God will cause some people that we're praying for to see clearly that Jesus is the healer and that they will receive that healing. We're going to pray for grace for them to receive and for God's power to be released. We know that he heard us. We already prayed for Vicky earlier. My wife's been feeling a little bit in her stomach and not feeling so great. So, Father, we thank you. We lift these up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We know that you heard us when we prayed, Lord, and we believe that you're working in their body a healing and a cure. We thank you that you bore our sicknesses and carried our pains, and that by your stripes we are healed, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. We thank you, Father, for the blood of your Son. We thank you for the stripes of Jesus on his back, and we receive this miracle, Lord. We come against the attack that the enemy has brought And we say no more in Jesus' name. You desist in your maneuvers against those in this house, for Vicky, for Lisa, for Diana and others, Lord, that have been attacked, Lord. We receive you as healer for them in Jesus' name. Let your healing power flow, Father. May they have grace and receive in Jesus' mighty name complete healing. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! I tell you what, you pray according to the Word of God, we're to get some Bible results. Amen? That's why we have the Bible. When we pray according to His will, He said, we know that He hears us. We know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. We're not hoping so. We're expecting the full manifestation of these things. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, we praise you for it, Father. And we give you glory, for you are holy. He is worthy. He paid the price. It's done. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to His name forever. Well, we've been talking tonight, on Wednesday night, about understanding grace. And we've said that grace and faith are often used together. We see that, of course, in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start there tonight. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Talking about saving grace. But, you know, we're saved by grace, what? Through faith. Amen. We see it together here. For by grace, verse 8, Ephesians 2, are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, it's not by our own effort, but by what God, what many have said, the unearnable grace of God. Amen? The unearnable favor of God. In other words, God looked down upon us and He says, I am here to save mankind. We had nothing to do with it. He did it. But we place our faith in that grace. In other words, it's what we don't deserve, we receive. Hallelujah. Amen. We deserved and deserve hell. We are of a fallen race, but God made a plan through Jesus Christ and His grace to save us. In other words, He had favor upon us. He released His love toward us. And it was by His grace. So when we don't understand grace sometimes, our works, our faith, I should say, can become works. In other words, we're trying to earn something when God's already given the gift. He said, we're saved by grace, right? For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. The gift was already given. Now, if you get a gift, what do? You receive the gift, right? And that gift was Jesus Christ. It was Him crucified in our place so that there is nothing in and of ourselves we could offer. We're not. Why? Because there was no man that was good enough. No man on the whole earth was good enough. We were tainted with sin through the DNA of Adam, and there was not a man. So God had to get permission from man to bring Jesus to the earth. And He found a woman named Mary. Amen. And into the earth, He said, I prepared a body for Him. And He caused her to supernaturally be impregnated. The Holy Spirit touched her, God touched her, and she was supernaturally impregnated by God. So the DNA of Adam was not in Jesus, but He was a total man. He had a body like a man. He came into the earth as a human being, yet He did not have the taint of a sin nature in Him, but He was alive to God from the beginning. And he took that life and he continued to live like a man with the life of God in him, with a body that was subject to sin, subject to sickness. It was subject to pain. It was subject to suffering. It was subject to emotional turmoil, yet without sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yet without sin, that he could be the perfect sacrifice once for all. Now, see, people didn't always believe that. Do you understand? This is, you know, when you look at the course of time, it's not that far away. 1500s, I think it's 1586, where the truth of salvation by grace came into being through Martin Luther. That revelation, it had to be rekindled. It was at the beginning, obviously. It was at the beginning of the church. They knew they were saved by grace. They know. Paul's writing it here to the Ephesian church. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. And in other places, Paul said, hey, I'm not here by my righteousness, but by the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are made that righteousness. And we take it for granted sometimes in this day and age that, oh, yeah, you're saved by grace because it's been preached to all. It's been preached and preached and preached. And the more we preach and the more we proclaim, preaching just means to proclaim, to tell it. The more of us that continue to tell that, then that truth becomes real in the hearts of people. Why? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And as we continue, not just teaching that truth, but other truths. Such as what? By his stripes you were healed. Now it's hit a large, you know, it's hit a good portion of the church. But there are many churches where they don't teach that. They don't realize and recognize that healing was in the atonement. Hallelujah. But how many know? It's getting more and more. More and more, we need to teach that and preach that and declare it. And we'll see more and more of it. It'll be just like it is when people get saved. They'll be, what, healed. They'll receive it. They'll say, oh, yes, I see it. I see it. It's for me. Hallelujah. We said that grace was most often used in some of the salutations and benedictions of the epistles. We went through some of that at the hellos and goodbyes. Remember, we looked at many of those and we saw where they said, grace and peace to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Grace being God's desire, his influence upon your heart, his favor be upon you, and may he be reflected in your life. They're saying grace to you. Hallelujah, that gift of grace rise up in you. In other words, God's divine influence be upon you. May he be reflected in your life. That's what they're really saying. They're saying, hey, grace to you. Hallelujah. Grace is the power that really makes faith work. It is the grace of God. In the Old Testament, the word grace, to be merciful, to have loving kindness, to have favor shown by a superior to an inferior. In other words, someone that didn't deserve it. Or maybe they really didn't, you know, they don't deserve it, but they get it anyway. You show loving kindness to them no matter what, and maybe they deserve just the opposite. They don't deserve any mercy. They don't deserve anything, but that's what's given to them. And so it's the same, really the same idea. Under the old covenant, they weren't saved by grace, but, well, they were really at grace and believing in the coming Messiah, because they're believing in the Messiah that was to come, right? Amen. But grace means favorable regard toward a person, a gracious favor shown to another person, a kindness shown to another, without regard to merit of one's receiving that favor. In other words, they don't have to earn it. And many times, even in spite of what they actually deserve. Hallelujah. It is the divine influence of God upon our heart and His reflection in our life. Him divinely influencing us. It is His power working in us. On the inside of us, we have really, we are birthed by God. We have His DNA on the inside of us. And part of that is His grace that rises up, His influence over us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, tonight I want to share a few things. I want to share a few expressions of God's grace. There's different ways that God's grace is expressed, and we saw the first one right here, really, in 2 Corinthians. But the Holy Spirit begins to point out the fact that God's grace is not only involved in our, you know, just in our salvation when we first get started, not in our, just our beginning, but it moves into, as we move into God's family, His grace is also there to help us to continue on with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. So the grace which saves us also empowers us to live a productive and satisfying life for Him. He doesn't just save us with His grace, but He begins to empower us and move within us and cause us to have that grace to continue walking with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. What does it say in John 1:12? To as many as received Him, to them gave He what? The power to become the Son of God. It was a power that was given to us when we were born again. It is the grace of God that moved in. Hallelujah. So the first thing I wanted to share tonight, there is saving grace, which is God's power and ability to justify us, forgive us our sins, and to make us new creatures in Jesus Christ. So the first thing is it justifies us or makes us righteous, right? That's saving grace. It forgives our sin, makes us the new creature in Jesus. And we read that right here in Ephesians, chapter 2. Verse 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. However, we are created, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There was a creation that took place on the inside of us. We were created in the image of God. Our spirit went from darkness to light. There was a difference that was made on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Ooh, created in Christ unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And so there is that saving grace, and it is not by our own works. However, He does have a job for us to do here in the kingdom, and we've talked about that. How God's grace will guide you and lead you and take us into the plan and purpose of God for our life. Oh, hallelujah. There's good news in the house tonight. Amen. And how many know He made you a new creation? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Who knows that verse? Amen. We know that verse, don't we? Most of us. But sometimes we don't really read it. But I want to back up just a little bit here because I like this other verse too. I'm going to read a couple of verses before, starting 15. It says, and that He died, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Now there's a life verse, amen. Hallelujah. Live for Him. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We don't know each other after that old nature, after the fleshly nature. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, they knew Him in the flesh, yet they don't know Him that way anymore. And they said, we knew Him when He was here on the earth. We don't know Him that way anymore. We know him in the Spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature, a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And verse 27 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is good news. There's saving grace where God justified us. He forgave us our sin and made us righteous before him. Hallelujah. There is the second one. There is a sanctifying grace. Now that's just a big word. It means set apart. To sanctify just means to be set apart holy. That's all it really means. It's not anything special, but it is a work that takes place. It is a constant purifying that takes place in our life. We talk about transformation. Sanctification is part of our transformation. Amen. There is a sanctifying grace that comes in, which is God's power and ability to purify us and enable us to walk holy, live holy lives in a corrupt world. Amen. You can live a holy life right here in this world. If Jesus did it and he lives in you, you can walk holy with him. Let's look at that. Titus 2. Sometimes we've looked at this one before, but let's look at it again. Right after 2 Timothy is Titus chapter 2. Some of you know where we're going. Verse 11 and 12. It says, for the grace of God, hallelujah, how many are thankful, that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hallelujah. The grace of God that sanctifies us. It says something to us. How many know in your heart, have you ever realized, oh, I shouldn't do that? And then maybe you didn't do it. But then later on, you found it in the Bible. Oh, it's this right here. We're not supposed to. I knew that in my heart. And you rejoice. Wow, how did I know that? The grace of God was working in you to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, worldly lust doesn't just mean women and all that in Psalm. It means anything of the world. You know, you can lust after a brand new car, right? You know, or a bigger house, or more money, or a big boat. We could lust after anything in the world. It could be, you know, any kind of a thing. Lust is just a big desire for something. You know, it's not all sexual. I mean, those are included, but that's not the only thing. Hallelujah. I'm just explaining that because sometimes I think we read that word and we get all this idea that, yeah, well, I don't do those things. Well, you still could have a lust for other things, a desire for the things of this world. And that's what the sanctifying grace and that righteousness that moved in begins to speak to us. Oh, hallelujah. How many are thankful for the true grace of God, that saving grace that came in and began to teach you? Amen. The Bible says the law of God's written on our heart. Why? So that we know what's right and wrong. Right as soon as we're born again, we begin to recognize, we begin to change. The Bible says, we know that we pass from death to life. Why? Because we love the brother. There's a love that begins to rise up on the inside of us. And we begin to see things differently. We begin to see them like God sees them. And we begin to say, wow, amen, hallelujah. And changes continue to take place. Number three, there is a strengthening grace. There's one of the ways that his grace is shown as in strength. strengthening grace is God's power and ability to energize and inspire us to live victoriously. To live in victory. How many like to live in victory? Amen. To reign over the challenges and circumstances of life. How many know there's a grace for you to reign in life? Over the circumstance. That means the natural things don't have to control me. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 17 says this. It says, for if by one man's offense, talking about Adam's sin, death reigned by one. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of light of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Amen. How many know what it means to reign? That's like the king, right? When he has his, you've heard of the king's reign. In other words, he's in control. He is dictating what takes place in this nation. If there's a king over some country, or if there is a reign, and how many know that you can reign in life? In your life, you have all authority to reign over you, to walk in victory, over sickness and disease, over poverty and lack, over emotional torment, hallelujah, to gain the peace of God. Glory to God. We don't have to be dominated by the enemy at all. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There is a grace to reign. Amen. Hallelujah. To walk with Him that strengthens us that we can live above the circumstance of this life. Number four, there is a grace to give or to share our selves with others. Amen. A sharing grace is God's power and ability to meet our needs and take joy in giving to others. Not just our money, but our time, our love, our talents, our gifts. And how many know there's so many people? It might just be to sit down and talk with someone. It might be to listen to an older person that hasn't had anyone come visit them. Amen. It may be just to, give someone a smile in their life. But there is a joy on the inside of you that can emanate and give and share Jesus with others in some way, shape, and form. Amen. We have that ability. We have that grace that works in us. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Amen. I know we use this a lot of times when we take up the offering, but how many know we've talked about it, that it's not just 2 Corinthians 9:8. You know, it's not just about offering that we give, is it? It's about our life. See, Jesus says, that we're to love Him more than we love what? Our family. More than we love our children. More than we love our husband or wife. And then He says, more than we love our own life. Amen. Otherwise, we can't really be His disciple. We're not going to be able to know Him. But when we do that, when we lay down our life and we say, yes, Lord, I love You most of all. And that was God's command, wasn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. All our soul, all our mind, with all of our being, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. He said this was the first and great commandment, and on these commandments hang all the law. You're going to fulfill everything that God ever wanted you to fulfill if you will love God and love your neighbor. With all of our heart, we'll love Him because we'll get to know Him and will understand him, and there'll be a grace on your life. On your life. That's very oaky, isn't it? Hallelujah. On your life. Hallelujah. But verse 8 of chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Oh, glory to God. See, he didn't say that you would just be sufficient in money, did he? No, he said you'd be sufficient in all things. That means there's healing power on the inside of you that you can give out. You have the ability to release it by faith. Hallelujah. I remember one doctor, and he was in the emergency room, and it looked like this lady was going to die. And he didn't say anything. He didn't say a word. But he grabbed her big toe right up under the sheet. Nobody even knew. And he released the healing power of God. He believed in the healing power of Jesus. And it wasn't too long, and she came to, and she was in her room, and she wanted to know, who grabbed my big toe? Who grabbed my toe? Because the power of God went into her body and brought a cure. When the doctors were limited, they could do so much, but Jesus is the healer. Amen. Hallelujah. When we come to the end of ourselves, glory to God, he steps in. Hallelujah. Sometimes there's things, and God does call people. He calls people to be doctors and nurses and firemen and all sorts of different places in life. And there's a grace, a sharing grace, a giving grace that we have on the inside of us. And we've got love to give. We've got grace in us to let it out. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we have all sufficiency. Not in some things, in all things. Why? We may not have it in ourselves, but we know who does. Amen. And we tap into that power with God. Hallelujah. And through our spirit, we yield to him and we say, Lord, we need that power in this situation. And the grace of God, which is in us, begins to work. And he can demonstrate himself through us when we are sharing, letting our grace be shared with others. Amen. All right. Number 5, there is a serving grace. Serving grace is God's power and ability to serve him and others with his divinely imparted gifts and abilities. Or, you know, he gives each of us different aptitudes or abilities on the inside of us. Things that we can do. Some people are just real smart with numbers. You know, they say, well, what are they? Well, maybe they're an accountant, or maybe they're an actuary. I actually knew somebody that was an actuary. He just knew all the numbers. They figure out all the percentages, you know, like for all the insurance companies. Well, here's the percentage that we need, you know, help them make money. How much to charge, what to do. And so God gives different abilities to different people. Now that's in the natural, but in the spirit, there are different gifts that God gives out. He's given everybody a gift, something to do. He said, you were created unto good works. There's something he's called you to do in the kingdom of God, and it's for us to seek God, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to read the Word of God, and to find that place that God has called us to. Hallelujah. I wish I could lay hands on you and just tell you, but it takes an effort of us going to God and seeking him. Say, Lord, I really want to know, what is it, Father? What are the gifts that you have given me? Hallelujah. That I may serve you and others with. Hallelujah. Those divinely imparted gifts. In other words, it may not have anything to do with your natural ability. may have nothing to do with your natural ability, but His ability begins to come through. I mean, there's not one of us in here that can raise the dead. None of us can without His power. It takes Him. He raises the dead through us. Yes, we may give the command. We may give the authority. We give Him authority in this earth, but it is God that raises them forth. His power is then released, and they are raised up by the power of the living God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've tried to heal some people, and it didn't work too well. I couldn't do it. Why? Because I was thinking, oh, well, God, you know, must be something in me. No, it's something in Him. It's who He is. He's the healer. He's the deliverer, and it's faith in God. 1 Peter 4:10, we have serving grace. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of what? The manifold grace of God. In other words, many different gifts, many different ways that His grace is brought forth in each and every heart. Why? Because we all have a gift. There's a gift in there. Hallelujah. It says, you know, the next verse, if a man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you minister, let him do it as with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In other words, there's a gift in you, and we do it with the ability and the grace that God has given to serve that gift. So saving grace keeps us from being lost. Amen. We're no longer lost, but we are saved and found by Him. Sanctifying grace keeps us from being contaminated with the world. Amen. How many know God will help you to stay strong? You know, He said, be what? We're to submit our bodies a living sacrifice and be not conformed to this world system. Amen. But to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Glory to God. There's a sanctifying grace that keeps us from that contamination. There's a strengthening grace that keeps us from being defeated, and we can walk in the victory that God has promised. Amen. We can reign in life. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ. Why? Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. There's a grace that's come to me. Oh, hallelujah. He works in us. It is God's power working in us and His reflection, the reflection of Jesus in our life. There's a sharing grace that keeps us from selfishness and helps us to share financially and with our own, with the gifts that He's given us to help share it with the body of Christ and with other people. Amen. And to share the gospel. Amen. That's part of the gospel. To let your gift and let your light, what? Shine. That men may see your good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. Amen. There's a sharing grace that keeps us from selfishness. And there's a serving grace, and it keeps us from being unproductive. We all have some place that we can serve. We work. He said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, no matter what it is, whether it's in the natural, whether it's in the spirit, whether it's with the word of God, whether we're talking to somebody, or whether we're mowing the grass, or we're pulling the weeds, or if we're, whatever we're doing, we're working the sound, hallelujah, we do it unto the Lord, to His glory. Hallelujah. There is a serving grace that can come upon us. So saving grace is the impartation of God's forgiveness. Sanctifying grace is the impartation of God's holiness. Strengthening grace, there is an impartation of God's might His ability on the inside of us, His might. Amen. To reign, to rule. Sharing grace is the impartation of God's generosity in our heart, His compassion, His love, that we might give to others. And there's a serving grace is the impartation of God's ability. Amen. On the inside of us, we receive His ability to do the task at hand, whatever He asks us to do. And we said before that one of the simplest definitions that I would give of God's grace is grace is love in action. It is God's love in action. That is the grace of God. There's nothing passive about God's grace, just like there is nothing passive about His love towards us. God, who is love, has been and continues to act on our behalf, and His love in action is what grace is really all about. When we allow Him to love us. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. Isaiah and then Jeremiah. Amen. If you get to Ezekiel, you went too far. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. He's drawn us to Himself. Amen. The New Living Translation says, God said to His people, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to Myself. Can we comprehend what an everlasting love really is? God's love for us has no beginning and it has no ending. Oh, hallelujah, I'm so thankful. There is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. He still loves us. Now, there are things we can do that, you know, may cause us to miss out on some things. There's still consequences for sin. But that doesn't mean He doesn't love us. He loves us no less. He loves us with an everlasting love. He draws us to Himself with unfailing love. If God's grace, in its general sense, is love acting or love in action, then saving grace is love rescuing. Sanctifying grace is the love of God cleansing us. Strengthening grace is love empowering. Sharing grace is love supplying, and serving grace is love assisting. When we understand God's grace and His love acting for us, in us and through us, then we can see how grace is more than, it's not just something that's intellectual, it's not just a teaching or a theory. But His grace is abounding toward us right now. And we can accept it. We can receive it right now by faith. And let His grace work in us and help us in our abilities to serve Him and to walk with Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. John 1. I want to read John 1:16. And here's part of the magnitude. There's a greatness of God's grace here. John 1. All right, Douglas. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There we go. 1:16. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Amplified says, for out of his fullness, his abundance, we have all received. All had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Oh, glory to God. Can you see the importance and the power of God's grace working in you? We can grow in grace. We live our life according to our spiritual man, our spiritual DNA we received when we were born again. When we look to that inner man, amen, we experience one grace, blessing, favor, and gift from heaven after another. And we can sense his yearning for us to come to him and for his grace, letting his grace influence every area of our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's read one more scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Glory to God. 1 through 3. He said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that he is gracious to you? Have you tasted of his goodness? Then he's asking us something tonight. He's just saying, lay aside that malice. Lay aside those things, the guile. Lay aside any hypocrisy in your life, any envy in your life, any evil speaking. Let it be put away from you. Let my grace work in you, he's saying tonight. He said, as newborn babes. Oh, hallelujah. Just like they hunger for milk. How many know a baby wakes up a few times a night wanting a bottle, doesn't he? Are we waking up desiring God's word? Are we desiring him? Is our hunger to know him? Hallelujah. He said the word of God helps us to grow in him, doesn't it? And if we have tasted that he is gracious. Oh, hallelujah. He's just said, if you tasted that he's gracious, let these things be in you, and let's hunger for him. Amen. Let's hunger to know him. Let's hunger to let his grace help us and to hunger after his word tonight. Amen. Not just tonight, but forever. Amen. To hunger after him. Desire that sincere milk of his word because we know he is so gracious. He is so good. He is so loving to us. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we want to know you more and more. We want to walk with you in the fullness of your influence in our heart. And we want to reflect you in our life, Lord. We want that grace to reflect Jesus, Father. We want to walk with you, Lord. We want to allow you not just to save us, but to sanctify us, Lord. To stand with us, Lord. Give us that strengthening grace, Lord, to walk in victory, Father. Oh, Lord, we want to walk with you, Father, in holiness, Lord, in righteousness, Lord. We want to let you minister in us and through us the gifts that you have deposited within us, Lord. Help us to find them. Help us to walk in them. Help us to allow your grace to flow through us and let your love be an action in our lives in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, amen and amen. Praise God.